Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. We welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're on the air, online, and on Facebook, and today we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on page 97 at the heading, By the Spirit. It's our Friday study edition, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Last week we talked about letting go of the law. It's done its work in our lives. It has stepped back and given way for Jesus to take control, to take the lead, to guide us into all truth, to do everything that he does in and through us. So God designed the law for a purpose. It was to serve a greater purpose. It wasn't the ultimate purpose. It wasn't God's end for mankind. It simply was there to serve. It's kind of interesting when you read the book of Hebrews. It describes Moses as a servant in the house.
Yes.
It's not the house. He's not the architect of the house. He's not the builder of the house. He's not the owner of the house. He was simply a servant in the house. And that's I think, very descriptive of the role of the law. It was a servant serving a higher, better purpose. It wasn't the purpose. It was just simply serving a greater purpose. And that greater purpose was for us to be set free from the law of sin and death so that we could be filled with the Spirit and dwelt by the Spirit and led by the Spirit as children of God. So last week we looked at Romans 7:6. This is a great passage. It says, "But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we can serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code." So what did the law do? It diagnosed our problem. It showed us that we were sinners. It showed us that we were dead spiritually. It pointed us to Christ. Then we received Christ. We were made brand new. Christ came to live inside of us. He gave us the gift of the Spirit. And in that transaction, we were released from the law, raised to walk in the newness of life, to live in a brand new way led by the Spirit. So the new way of life is a life of faith. It is a life that is led by and empowered by the Spirit of God. So that is good news. And that's why this gospel is good news, because the responsibility of the Christian life isn't on our shoulders anymore. When it was on our shoulders, or when we thought it was on our shoulders, boy, it became a heavy, heavy burden. But Jesus said his yoke was light. And that's what this life of faith is all about. Why? Because all the weight, all the pressure of it is on Jesus. We simply rest in him, trust in him, and allow him to live his life through us. That's what this Spirit-led life is all about. So it's by the Spirit. So the first step of living a Sunday life in a Friday world is to let go of human effort, to let go of trying to do it yourself, of trying to do more, be more, promise more, all of those sort of things. Let go of that and embrace this new life that you have in Christ. So the Sunday life is a life of faith. It is led by and empowered by the Spirit of God. So we're going to go to Galatians 5. It is a wonderful, practical passage that tells us how this Christian life is really supposed to work. So, Richard, would you start us off by reading Galatians 5:16?
Sure. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Okay. So what is the encouragement there?
To walk by the Spirit, continuously walk by the Spirit.
Okay. Now, what's going to be the result of that?
We won't gratify the desires of the flesh.
Yeah. Now, this is an important thing for us to really understand. We kind of go at things opposite of how God lays them out for us. We want to clean up the flesh so that we'll be spiritual.
Yes.
That's an impossible thing for us to do. We can't clean up the flesh. The flesh is always going to be flesh. That's just the nature of flesh. So we can't change that. And God never intended for us to change it. So as believers, we're housed in a body of flesh. Sin lives in that flesh. And so it's always going to tug at us to try to follow after its desires and to gratify those desires. Now, the flesh isn't us, is it?
No.
It's not who we are. It's simply kind of what we're housed in.
Correct.
It's not our real identity. Our real identity is a child of God and dwelt by the Spirit of God to be led by the Spirit of God. That's the real us. That's the real you. That's the real me. And so we're never called to clean up the flesh. We're never called to try to change the nature of the flesh. We're simply called to walk in the Spirit. And in walking in the Spirit, the byproduct, the result of that, is we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay? So let's give a practical example of that. All of us have money woes, don't we? We have money concerns and money worries and just that plagues the vast majority of us. We live from paycheck to paycheck. And when things get tight, when there's more days in the month than money in the checkbook, all those worries start to surface.
Yes.
And there's fleshly desires. You know, how can I go and get money quick? How can I be involved in a get rich quick scheme?
Yeah.
And all of those things start coming at us, right? We want to play the lottery. We see those billboards, and, you know, it's multi-million-dollar prizes. And you think, ah, you know, Lord, I'm going to pray, and I just know it's your will for me to win that lottery. And if I do, I'm going to give you 10%. I promise. I promise. And you get this feeling that you just know it's going to happen. Well, what is that? It's flesh.
Yes.
It's flesh. And sometimes you think, I'm just going to try it. I'm just going to give in to it. Well, if you stop just a minute, quiet in your heart, quiet in your mind, and listen to what the Spirit is saying, you'll hear, wait a minute, God said he's going to supply all your needs according to his riches in grace. You think, that's true, isn't it? God's always taken care of me. He's always met every single need. He's never left me hungry. He's never left me wanting for anything that I've ever needed. So I can trust him again. And so as you hear the Spirit and you keep in step with the Spirit, you walk with what the Spirit is leading, the byproduct, you don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. You don't go out and buy that lottery ticket. You keep that $5 for something more important. Now, there's other examples as well. You know, we say things to hurt each other. We do things to hurt one another. Well, when you've been hurt, the flesh has desires to get even.
Yeah.
And the flesh presses in and says, you know, here's a way you can do it.
Yeah.
Here's a way that you can get even. But that's not the real you speaking. That's not who you are. That's just your flesh. The real you is connected with Christ, is in union with Christ. And in that union, Christ is saying to the real you, be reconciled. Jesus has already been reconciled to that guy. You need to be reconciled. And so as you keep in step with the Spirit, you go, you forgive, you be reconciled. And in that act, you're not fulfilling the desire of the flesh to get even. So it's important for us to understand that the focus is walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
That's all you need to think about. You know, you and I, Richard, play golf. We're horrible at it.
I'm more horrible than you.
Yes, and I agree.
Yeah. He's just horrible.
Yeah. But, you know, when you get on that first tee and you've teed your ball up and all of a sudden you've got 100 different things that you start thinking about. Be sure I keep my head down. You know, swing smooth. You know, keep the weight behind the ball. do this, do that, do this. And then all of those things just create this swirl of confusion. And then when you go to swing, the ball just kind of, you know, goes off the tee about 10 feet and you're embarrassed and all of that. Well, the key is to listen to one thing, is to just let one thing be the controlling thought when you get up to hit a golf ball. That's the what this verse is all about. Your one thing, as far as a believer is concerned, is to walk by the Spirit. Nothing else. Nothing else. If you will let that be your controlling thought in every situation, every relationship, every circumstance that you encounter in life, let walk by the Spirit be that one controlling thought, you will see incredible things happen in your day-to-day life. I guarantee it. Why? Because when you say, I want to walk by the Spirit, that opens up those spiritual ears, those spiritual eyes, to really see what the Spirit of God is doing in and through you. And that's what the Christian life is all about. It is the new way of the Spirit.
So the Bible has become your guide to golf then.
Okay. It hadn't helped on that front yet.
Hasn't helped Richard yet. No. Well, friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Series from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us today. I want to remind you that the study guide and the book, of course, are available, as always, at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. That's a special website that we put up just for this particular purpose, and we encourage you to go there. SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com, you'll find that the book by the same name, and the study guide that we're studying through on each of these Friday editions. We also want to say thank you to the many of you who support this ministry with your prayers and with your gifts. Because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel are able to do what we do. And that is, of course, take the truth, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, to so many others who are searching, who need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. You know, we've seen it many times. When truth is heard, when the truth takes root, new life, a forever changed life is the result. And when you give and someone hears, you've got a part in it. We ask you today to help us keep the good news coming, of course. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. And when you do that, be sure to click the appropriate link for a special gift that will be coming to you. Again, donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob, and we certainly pray that many people will join with us. It's an exciting time to be a believer. Yes. In this world. I think we have some unprecedented opportunities right in front of us to get this word out into as many lives as we possibly can, and I think it's time for us to boldly step forward and offer up this life that is available in Jesus Christ, this new way of life. That so many people really, really want. Yeah. And they're searching for it. Absolutely. It's not like they're not searching for this. They just don't know what they really need. Yeah. And we have the answer. We have the solution. So let's get it into their lives as much as we possibly can. So come be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel in delivering this good news and connecting people to the love of Jesus Christ.
Join us by clicking donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, let's get back to our study. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. We're going to see some very practical things that God does to help power us forward. And I think this is one of those great passages in the Word of God. So, Richard, what does Romans 5:5 say to us?
And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Pretty amazing.
God pours his love into our hearts. And this whole section is about circumstances of life. Mm-hmm. You know, we rejoice in the good things, but we also rejoice in the suffering, because suffering produces perseverance, and he just goes through that, and hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So that's what we have inside of us. Now, that love that is inside of us, that has been poured there by the Holy Spirit, that stands in opposition to the desires of the flesh, doesn't it?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Thanks for understating that. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So they are at the opposite ends of the spectrum. You can't get any further apart than the love of Christ and the desires of the Spirit or of the flesh. The desires of the flesh, it's selfishness just on steroids, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what the desires of the flesh are all about. They're me-centered. The love of Christ is others-centered. Mm-hmm. And when we, walk by the Spirit and have our minds and eyes cast out apart from us onto the lives of others and begin to serve and love, boy, that's when we're rewarded the most, isn't it?
Yeah.
Internally. So this is a very positive thing. So concerning this love, how does the Spirit impress this love into our most inner beings, according to Ephesians 3:16-19?
One of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Okay, so how does the Spirit impress this love into our most inner beings?
He dwells in us. He fills us. He roots us. He establishes us. It's just everything that we've been given in Christ, the Spirit makes real inside of
and,
us.
And what's the end result of that? What happens with us as he is impressing that onto our hearts and minds?
Well, we begin to understand the size, the all-encompassing size of God's love. It becomes ours. We're rooted in it. And then we're able to understand the depth of it and to know it, and we're filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I mean, it is literally like God turns on the tap and the water just pours out of us because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in us.
And that's a good thing. What the Holy Spirit is doing in us begins to flow out of us into the lives of others. So this word know, he uses it a couple of times in this particular passage. He's talking more about more than just intellectual understanding or knowledge, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a relationship word.
Yeah, relationship. I think that's a great relational knowledge of the love of Christ, an experiential knowledge, a heartfelt knowledge of the love of Christ. So this becomes what life is all about. It's the very thing that shapes us and forms us and moves us in our day-to-day walk. It's that powerful. So it's more than just an intellectual understanding of the love of God. It really becomes a heartfelt experience.
Yes. A small example of it. If you've ever flown across an ocean or even in a boat, a luxury liner of some kind, been out in the middle of the ocean, the size of the world is overwhelming because it's water everywhere. There's sky everywhere, and you're just this little dot in the middle of it, and you're impressed, overwhelmed almost, with the sheer size and scope and mass of the world. That is more than a head knowledge.
Yes.
I mean, the head knowledge can tell you, the world's about 25,000 miles around it. But that is the experiential side. This is what happens when the Spirit renews our minds to understand this kind of love. It just overwhelms you.
Yes, it really does. And it's love that's powerful enough to dissolve old traditions, old ways of doing things. I think of Peter, and we'll talk about this in a later episode as well, but when those men from Caesarea came to him while he was at Simon the Tanner's house in Joppa and said, come with us. And these were Gentiles, and Peter was a Jew, and that was a forbidden association back in those days. That was against Jewish law. And yet the love of God was so powerful, it dissolved that as far as Peter was concerned. He was no longer constrained by that Jewish law because he knew God was about something bigger, more important, more noble, more honorable than just rules. And so he went with those folks without hesitating. And he marches up to Caesarea, and he goes to the house of Cornelius. And you can imagine what he felt as he's walking up those steps to enter into the front door. It's like, wait a minute, everything that I have held dear, all this Jewish tradition, all that I have learned from just a little boy, it's being challenged by the love of God. And yet the love of God just kind of poofs that away and says, here's something greater. And so Peter walked by the Spirit. And what was the result of that? As he spoke the words about Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his entire household, and they were saved. The Gentiles were now a part of this new way of life. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. That's this love of God being poured out into our lives. The world today is filled with divisions. There's lines drawn all over this place. We're divided racially. We're divided politically. We're divided religiously. We're afraid to reach out across those lines to speak to people, to find out what's really going on inside of them. What will people think? How will I feel? How will I react? Well, it's time for us to allow the love of God to erase those lines as far as we're concerned.
Yes.
To not be afraid, to not be motivated by the fears and the divisions of this world, but allow the love of God to move us forward. That's what it means to be guided, to be led by the Spirit of God. Paul put it best in Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." That's exactly what Peter discovered. And that's what Paul wrote about to the Galatians. Allow the love of God to be the controlling influence in your life, to be your very life. Second Peter 1:3-4, Peter said it this way: "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us out of His who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, that so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." What is that divine nature? It is the love of Christ. God is love. And so that's what we get to participate in. And we have to remember that God is committed to completing the work that He began in us. He is the very source. As Paul wrote in Philippians, we're to work out this salvation in fear and trembling, because it is God who is at work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. This new way of life is sourced by God Himself.
Yes.
He is the source of this new life. As we trust Him, we'll see that new life flow through us.
Good stuff, guys, again, and we thank you for that. And friends, we're glad that you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Again, you can find the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the companion study guide through which we're studying when you visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. You know, at Basic Gospel, we are privileged to proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're blessed to have so many of you partnering with us. The need is great, and at Basic Gospel, we have the answer to the heart needs of people everywhere, people who are ready to hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Please join with us, friends. The blessing of your gift through Basic Gospel can make the difference in someone's life. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, we have a special gift for you. Just click that appropriate link and make your request for that gift. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, again, thanks for joining us for this edition, everybody. We'll be back on Monday for another live and interactive program called Basic Gospel, and we hope to see you then. For Bob and Richard, the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.